Have you seen your life be torn apart by things you could not help until you finally reach the point where you could only blame yourself? Have you laid your head to sleep and think that you'll always be alone? Then awaken to his voice calling you home, saying you are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. Are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved.
I want to welcome everyone to our Monday night Jubilee. And just in case you forgot the year, 2022. And we weren't able to have Jubilee last year. We kind of leaned on the side of caution. But this year, here we are. We are ready to worship and enjoy the Lord's presence. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining with us tonight. And looking forward to the service. We have Jaden's call, Deborah Perry and Jaden's call with us this evening. And so excited to have them with us. And of course, if you were with us yesterday morning, we had Libby Perry with us. And so now we have the other sister and family with us. And so we're looking forward to that tonight. And also, Brother Ricky Gravely, he'll be here. I know. I spoke with him earlier. And Brother Snyder, be ready. Be ready, brother. Note and pad, grab that sermon in the other Bible, huh? I hear you. But we're just so thankful to be here this evening. Thankful for the crowds. We've been having a great time. Of course, we had a wonderful time last night with the old past being with us. And of course, Brother Sammy preaching for us. Had a wonderful time. It's a brand new service. Looking for the Lord to do something amazing tonight. And my word to you, as it is to myself, is to just allow everything to be dismissed from our minds and hearts. I'm in the habit of saying this before I preach every time. Lord, gird up the loins of my mind. Give me a clear head and a calm heart. You can't step behind this sacred desk right here with things scrambling around in your head and doubting and believing and all these other things. And so we're going to pray here in just a moment. And let's all just ask God to clear our heads and calm our hearts and just be prepared for the message and also the music. Tell you what, I've been praying about someone starting off the service tonight in prayer. Been praying about someone to pray tonight to start the service off. And I tell you, there's a couple things on my heart I want us to pray about. Number one, the meeting tonight and this week. But number two, Ukraine. I was talking about over supper tonight. Things are not getting better there. They're getting worse and worse. And I just pray for God to intervene and do something amazing and drastic there to help out Ukraine. But also, one of our young people, Max, had surgery today. He had jaw surgery, actually. Went on a skiing trip. The youth did. And nobody even fell down. a little bit of overstatement, but no bones were broken there. Get back and start playing football. And out in the yard is when it happened. Got his jaw broke. But Max, he's recovering well. The surgery went great. I had to voice that and say that. And so we'll remember him in prayer as well. All right. I'm going to have Brother Alan Young, if he would, come around tonight and lead us in a word of prayer to the Lord. I want to really bathe the service in prayer. Start this week off the right way. So, brother, you have the freedom to pray about what you want, but just mention those things if you don't mind. Sure. Love you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Let's pray. Lord, as we bow before thee, what a place to be, the throne of grace. Yes. Don't know what it's like. The Bible says I can't even imagine it, even if I tried. But I know you're there.
Yes.
It's all I need to know. I thank you, Lord, that we can come to a place of authority. You're on the throne. I thank you, God, that you can just speak words and worlds evolve. But Lord, before your throne, we ask you, sir, for mercy.
Yes.
Throne of grace. God, I want to give you thanks for taking care of my little buddy today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that it wasn't evasive as what they thought. It's not going to be wired shut as long as what they had talked about before. That's just little things that you do. Little things to you, but they're sure big to us. Thank you, sir. God, my mind goes back to what Jubilee is all about. I can just imagine being in the fields, shackled. Worried about the debt that we could not pay. And in the distance, hearing that ram's horn.
Yes.
Maybe someone coming along and taking the shackles off.
Yeah.
Not really understanding how the God that sits on that throne could orchestrate such a law. But we're so thankful. So thankful, God, that our debts are now paid, the Son of the blood. That we're no longer shackled to the things that hindered us, bogged us down.
Yes.
Lord, a long time ago, time was set aside for this meeting and to symbolize that very act. This week, God, we're doing so again. I pray that you be with the pastor. Move on his heart, lead him, guide him, direct him, God, to where he sees fit. And as your preachers, the ones that you called, stands before thee and opens that book. I pray, God, that you'll anoint them like you never have. Give us the spirit of obedience. Give us ears to hear, not to just listen. So, God, if you could give us a little bit of your time this week, it sure would be appreciated.
Amen.
And God, it's not close to here. Pretty good piece off. Little country of Ukraine is God being bombarded. Your word tells us, God, that you hold the hearts of kings. Would you please move on that authority figure over there?
Yes.
Would you please soften his heart? God, I don't know those people. I don't know a single person over there, but I do know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ over there.
Yes.
God, what an opportunity it is for you to show them the God of the throne of grace. Yes. God, I asked you, sir, if you would consider watching over them, hovering over them. What a testimony that would be to the world. I don't know what to ask you to do in that situation. Didn't take you by surprise. You already know the outcome. So, Father, we just humbly submit that call to you. Give them the grace, but give this country, God, the insight to follow your lead. Move on the authority of our nation. The ones who makes the calls of our nation, God, move the heart of those men and women. God, what a time for a massive revival throughout this world. It happens, God, when you declare. We ask you, sir. The Bible says we ask not, we have not, because we ask not. God, if we ask you, that must mean we can't do it ourselves. We have to ask someone that has the superiority to do so, to act, to give, and to know. We trust you, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll give us the wisdom and the discernment to stand back and watch your glory. Watch the things you do to bring a nation closer to thee. And if need be, God, a nation to her knees. There was a prayer prayed a long time ago. God, in your wrath, please remember mercy. Would you do so, sir? We'll be careful to give you praise. As we step aside and turn the service over to you, I pray your Holy Spirit would do his perfect work tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
having technical difficulties with this microphone, so we're going to just lay her down, all right? Church, would you stand with me and turn over to page number 120? Let's everyone stand together and sing tonight about the victory we have in Jesus. All right, here we go.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory.
We're going to sing the last one now.
Well, I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is
church. Thank you. You can be seated. Go ahead and give us a little bit of traveling music. Let's bring the choir down. All right. A joy tonight and a privilege. It's an honor, our honor, to have Jaden's call with us tonight. We're very excited about that. I know the Lord's going to use them in a very powerful way. Would you please make them welcome tonight to Calvary, Jaden's call.
Somebody turned that switch off, and I said, oh, no, the power just went out. Everything just reset. We're in trouble. Luckily, just the light switch. That's a good thing. Get it fixed. We just have to wait for somebody. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me know y'all alive tonight. Boy, good crowd tonight. Y'all give yourselves a hand tonight. Amen. So, the funny story. Let me tell y'all this story while we get that done. So a couple years ago, I was traveling on the weekend with a group called the Neelands. So we went to UGA, Tipton campus down there for a convention, gospel singing. And Chris, the whole time, down there singing the whole time, he just kept saying, I hate technology, I hate technology. And I looked at my friend that was sitting beside me, and I said, I don't know who these people are, but that is annoying hearing that saying over and over and over again. And I told him, when I was a worship pastor at the time, I said, I would never have these people sing in my group, my church. And 3 years later, here I am staying on stage with you. So, never say never, I guess.
Look like you're having technical difficulties too.
We were having technical difficulties, and so we had to. We were doing the emceeing down there, and we had to fill the empty space with something. And so all my husband could think of was, I hate.
Y'all understand? We had rust half. We had Gaither people there all the whole night. Everything was happening for every single song. And I was doing the MC and I had to buy time to fix things. And just every single thing that was going on, I'd always say, I hate technology. Tonight I hate technology, but it's okay. We're in God's house and everything's going to be all right. Y'all ready to hear some singing?
Yeah.
That was a little weak. Anybody ready to hear some singing tonight?
Yeah.
Let's try this and see what we do. So, here we go. I'm going one of these parties to the land of every night.
Oh, yes, I'm going one of these mornings. Where the world is flying, is flying. One of these mornings, I'll be flying high.
One of these mornings, I'm going to say goodbye. Oh, come on, here we go. I'm going one of these mornings to the land. Sacrifice because they want what? They want freedom. I don't know if you're here tonight, if you have fought some capacity. You know what? We don't take it for granted. made the sacrifice for us, whether it's present, past, it doesn't matter. The point is you made the sacrifice so we could do what we do here tonight. We never want to take it for granted. I remember as a kid, my dad was in the Air Force, and the thing was a big deal like the other kids, but their parents were in the Army and all this. And I remember an elderly gentleman once told me one time, he said, "Son, let me tell you something." He said, "Always remember they have to get him in the sky first before they get him on the ground." And ever since then, I was a proud Air Force brat. But you know what? Even more than that, there's somebody else that made the ultimate sacrifice. This man called Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this song. Not only do we dedicate it to the men and women that fall, but I want to dedicate this to the one and true King, Jesus Christ. Listen to this song.
We're told that on his body was found a diadem. On the flyleaf, under the heading, "My Pledge," he had written these words: "America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone."
To leave behind their family and friends, they made their stand in foreign lands where they'd never been. Their mission wasn't easy, they knew it wouldn't be, but they would fight and risk their lives so we could be free. To keep us in our sin, the angels watch as Jesus laid his deity aside. For God's own Son, he shed his blood. Freedom cost his life. Freedom don't.
Somebody before us made the sacrifice of freedom.
just glad that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Listen.
To Pilate to beg for the body of a man that so many despised. It was a cold steel form they carried from the mountain to the tomb where they laid him inside.
Now the chief priest came to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember." The deceiver said, "In 3 days he would arise." And Pilate said, "Go to that tomb and make it sure as you can." But all the guards, they could not hold him inside.
With the soul.
Something a little bit different. It's called worship. Y'all ain't gonna scare us tonight if you raise your hand. If you say praise the Lord, you, matter of fact, might kind of wonder about you if you don't. Listen, when I was raised up, there's people, they used to jump up, roll on the floor, they did it all. You ain't gonna scare us a bit. So I tell you what, y'all quit checking us out, we'll quit checking y'all out, we'll start doing some more singing if y'all worship. You'll see a little bit of more of that right there. Oh, come on, sing it.
When the storm rolled away, the Rock of Ages walked out. The moon bloomed in all his glory, so fair.
In all his glory, hallelujah.
And sunrise, the sun rose, and victory and power. And one day we will rise to meet him.
How many's going here tonight, amen? Well, that sun. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Somebody say hallelujah. One more time. I want to do this tag one more time because I think some of disciples in victory and power. And one day we will rise to meet him in the end.
Sometimes in my life that I wasn't sure that I was going to make it there. But I can stand before you today and tell you there's nothing like having the blood of Jesus applied to your heart and your life. And that's why we need revival here tonight. I want y'all to sing this song. I'm going to be there. I wasn't there when they actually nailed my Lord and my Savior to that cross. But you know what? My sins were represented there. And as long as that was there, you know what? That gave me hope that one day I was going to be saved and he was going to take me home. And I can't wait. Now, I'm a little bit radical because of what the Lord has done for me. I don't know what he's done for you, if anything. Has he done anything for you?
I was there in Bethlehem, that's more. When a little baby boy, he came and changed the world. I wasn't there when Peter, James, and John to see the water that he walked on, or the mighty waves he calmed. I wasn't there when they laid him in the grave, as he bore my sin and shame. But there will come a day that I'll be there.
I'll be there when he calls the roll. I'll be there to praise his holy name. I'll be there down on my knees.
You better believe that I'll be there.
Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the hearts of man, but God is prepared for those who love him. Amen. Hallelujah.
I wasn't there, but I believe it all. How he made the lame to walk. I wonder what the blind man saw. Can you just imagine? I wasn't there in the garden where he cried, and not my will, Lord, but thine. I wasn't there when they pierced his side. I wasn't there when they marked his holy name. But thank God there'll come a day, since the storm was rolled away.
Waiting on the same. I'll be there to praise his holy name. I'll be there
You know what? I was sitting at the office one day, and I had a friend of ours that sent us a song, and I was not having a very good day. And when I downloaded this song and I put it in the computer, it's a song that will put a smile on your face. And I realized that, you know what? Things are not always that bad, even though they may look like it on the outside. Because you know what? We have that relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's going to help us. And he's going to forgive us when we err and we do wrong. Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior like that? I want you to say this. Dakota's been a little bit under the weather, but you do a good job when you sing this. I want y'all to help us out on the ending of it, and Chris will tell you what you need to do. But you know what? I'm on my way today, and I can't wait till I get there.
Struggle sometimes, a smile when I'm walking through fiery trial. But what keeps me going on my darkest days is knowing that I'm on my way. When I'm feeling down and when I get the blues, gather around, let me tell you, here's what I do. I lift my voice to the Lord and praise and thank him that I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
To my new home. I'm on my way
to see my Lord.
I'm on my way to see Jesus. And there yet, the bride, you bet I'm on my way.
Now, at the end of this song, we're going to need your help. It's really simple. All you have to do is go do, 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 and you'll get it here in just a minute.
Devil tries to get the best of me. He gets me down as far as my knee. And when he does the best, he can get me to stray. I tell him that I'm on my way.
my new home.
To my new home.
I'm on my way
to see my Lord.
On my way to see Jesus.
Ain't there yet, my brother? You can bet I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
On my way to heaven. I'm on my way
to my new home.
To my new home. I'm on my way
to see my Lord.
On my way to see Jesus.
Ain't there yet, my brother? You can bet I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
On my way to heaven. I'm on my way
to my new home.
To my new home. I'm on my way
to see my Lord.
On my way to see Jesus. Ain't there yet, my brother?
You can bet I'm on. Your turn. Here we go. Do, 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 do. Thank God I am on my way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw some of y'all was like, man, I liked that right there. Some of y'all act like you liked it. You know that it takes less muscles to smile. I'm here to tell you, there's a bunch of lazy people in this world. Before we do this last song, I know this is Jubilee. We're so glad that y'all allowed us to be here. And you get to hear one of the other Perrys. When you were growing up, and you stopped growing at about 12, I think that's possible. Me and Dakota went to eat at, used to be Applebee's in Hiram today, and it's now a Mexican restaurant, and there was a sign that says we are short-staffed, and I said, I have to run with this, I'm just telling you. So I went on Facebook and posted, and I said, I finally found the restaurant that my wife and her family officially own. If you don't know what I'm talking about, my wife is the tallest of the bunch, she's 5'2". Randy's 5 foot, Libby's 4'7 1/4. And I'm just telling you right now. Now, I told her not too long ago, you know, the Perrys are in Tennessee, and I told Libby not too long ago, I said, I know me and brother-in-law, but I said, but I like to pick on you. I said, but here's the true statement. I said, do you know that you can no longer drive in the state of Georgia? Well, she looked at me quite funny. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, they just passed the law. You're 4'8" shorter, you got to be in a booster seat. It's really true. That's the funny part. But anyway, y'all were called God's little people for many years, and Jim Hamill, the King's Meme, named y'all or pinned y'all as the name the Smurfs. And beyond that, your mom went and she made y'all Carolina blue or Smurf color blue dresses. I said, what a way to make it fit. But she was the original soprano. The original group was her, Randy, and Libby for 18 years, actually for 15 years. Y'all had a bass singer. He lasted about 4 or 5 months. And then y'all got rid of him, and Tracy Stuffel came in, was the bass singer from 85 until he passed in 2018. But I tell you what, it's amazing that we were talking about this last night, the guy that had us at the church last night, how three different ministries branched from the Perrys. And if you had known the Perrys when they were kids, Leslie told on you last night. He said, the first concert that y'all did, he said, y'all couldn't sing a lick on par. Y'all see, all three of you sang unison and everything. You finally had to go get some lessons. But I tell you what, she says if we sing by letter, let's open up and let her fly. I don't know about that, but I know you'll not find a finer soprano singer in all gospel music. I'm glad to see my wife, Deborah Perry Reed from Galanga, Georgia. Now this right here, he's actually, you're from right here in this area pretty much. You're actually living Hiram. Ain't that where we Hiram? Is it Hiram? That's what I was told. But anyway, your grandmother, Martin's here tonight. So good to see you, the family. And for those of y'all that don't know, his grandpa, Dr. Ken Martin, used to pastor down here at Grace at Powder Springs. So if you're looking at him and think he looks a little familiar, that might be where you know him from. But he's doing a fabulous job, 21 years old. He don't like me to share this. But after service, we're taking applications. He's single, saying search and take applications at the product table out there. So if you got a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandmother, doesn't matter. We want to get a married off. Y'all glad to see Mr. Dakota Lee. Make him welcome. And my name is Christopher Reed. We're going to leave you with one song because I'll tell you what.
Actually, we're going to do two.
We're going to do two. Well, I guess you said so. And well, go ahead and you do your thing, what you need to do right there. I'm going to be hushing right now. Go ahead.
Okay, we don't want to get over into the preacher's time, but I want to share, because most of you here tonight have never heard us sing. You don't know anything about our group, but our group's name is Jayden's Call, and we gave our grandson our group's name in honor of him. We went through a teenage pregnancy back 15 years ago, and out of that pregnancy, a little boy by the name of Jayden was born into our family. We didn't find out that Ashley was going to have a baby until she was 21 weeks. I was really upset. It was just one of the darkest days, and little did we know the journey that we were fixing to embark upon. And to make a long story short, Jayden was born on August the 27th, 2006, and he was born without any upper lobes of his brain. I have been taking care of him this past month. Today, actually, has been a month, because he has a two-year-old little brother that's at Scottish Rite Hospital, who was born 2.5 years ago with Down syndrome. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that God would allow something like this again. And it broke my heart. And I looked up that morning, and I said, God, this is just not fair. And he said, oh, but he said, you've been here before. And I knew what he was trying to tell me, that it was going to be okay. Jayden defied all odds. They said he wouldn't live. And this coming August, he's going to be 16 years old. I told him the other day, now Jayden is blind, cannot walk, can't talk, completely confined to a wheelchair. But I told him the other day, I said, Jayden, I said, you know what? I said, you're going to be able to get your license come August. I don't know what he was thinking, but he sure did giggle when I said that. One day, Jayden's not going to be like this. And between here and there, there's been a lot of hard roads that we've had to go down. My little girl had to grow up too soon. She's proved it over and over. Her strength and her courage that God has given her. See, out of bad things, God can do good things.
Right.
And he can allow great things. And what the enemy meant for harm, he can turn that situation around so that he'll be glorified in the end. And that's why Jayden's Call is our group's name. And it's to ask you to pray for these babies. Emery is at Scottish Rite. A month ago, we found out that he has leukemia. What don't kill you will make you stronger. And once again, I was in the kitchen when Ashley called from the hospital. And she said, Mom, and that's all she had to say. Just like when we found out that Emery was going to be Down syndrome, all she had to say was Mom. And I knew that the news was not going to be good. But you know what? God knows what he's allowing. And once again, I got a little upset with the Lord, and I said, God, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to kill my child? Because as Jayden's gotten older and bigger, the challenges of taking care of him have become greater and greater. But I want to tell you something. I am twice her age, and I've been taking care of him for a month now, and what a privilege it is. He's taught me more than I could ever teach him. And one day, when I get to heaven,
The only consolation, the only thing that gets us through is knowing that he's not going to always be like this. And neither is Emery. But I would ask that you would pray. We thought that Emery was going to get to come home after being in the hospital for a month, but we found out this evening that he's going to have to be in the hospital for another 2 months. He'll get to come home within a week of each other. It's always too soon to give up or to give in when you're faced with these circumstances. What are you going to do? If you give in and let God do the work, then most of the time, half the stuff that we worried about, you know what? It don't ever come to pass anyway. So let's just put our faith into action and believe that, you know what? It's tough right now, but we're fixing to be on the other side of it. I want to tell you what, God is fixing to come and take the church out of it. And if you think you got tomorrow, you better check up from the neck up. Now, I'm country as cornbread, and I used to try to be different than what I thought. I was ashamed of where I was raised as far as being, because all of my folks are country as cornbread. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to give up because I'm a daughter and a child of the Most High God. Listen to this song. This is our testimony. If you have ever prayed for anybody, pray for us as we walk this road to recovery. oh, what a day it's going to be when we see Jesus. How many are excited to get there today? I was raised Country Baptist. Can you not tell? This is where this country is at.
The signs of time, they tell us the end is drawing near. War and strife going on, it's causing men to fear. But don't lose hope, for soon we will be gone. When Gabriel sounds the call, lift your head up high, for we are going home.
Guess what? They're going to be here tomorrow night as well. Come back tomorrow night. Jaden's call will be here. Looking forward to that again. But we appreciate the singing. Goodness, brother. Very good. Very good godly gospel singing. And whenever my feet start moving back and forth, I know the Lord's getting ready to do something in my heart. And almost got ready to start tap dancing. And I guarantee you, that'd be a sight to behold. But anyway, so good to have Brother Ricky Gravely here, Rossville, Georgia, Bible Baptist Church. And I can remember when I first got saved back in 02, going to Floyd Road. Brother Ricky, I can remember you coming and preaching in Floyd Road's Jubilee. And got to know Brother Ricky through the years, and just an inspiration to me, being another younger man. I know that he's, like we all are, aging as the years go by, but someone closer to my age, I really appreciate that. Brother Ricky, you come on, brother, and give us the message God put on your heart. Can we give Brother Ricky Gravely a warm welcome tonight? Love you, my friend. Good to be with you.
Amen. All right, well, take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. And Revelation chapter 4, and while you're turning, I want to say it's a joy and privilege to be here tonight, and I certainly enjoyed the singing. Amen. I didn't know who was singing tonight when I came in, and then when Pastor told me who it was, and then our brother introduced the singers tonight, I have to say I was certainly, I don't know if impressed is the right word we ought to use in church, but I've listened to the Perrys for years and watched the videos for years. In fact, we're going down the road. A lot of times I, you know, just need a good something with a little touch on it. I'd pull up one of them old videos and watch and listen to the singing. So it's just always been a help to me. So I appreciate you folks and such an opportunity to be here tonight. And, brother, I want to thank you for letting me come and thankful for what God's done in your life. Amen. And how the Lord has blessed. Isn't it good to be saved tonight? And then the testimony of the grandchildren to pray for. Certainly we do want to pray for them tonight, but the testimony certainly touched me personally tonight, for I know where they are at. And so I have experienced some of that in my life as well. And so I know that God knows. Amen. And he certainly gives us grace to help us in time of need. Because I look at people sometimes, just as we heard this story tonight, and you wonder, how can they make it through that? How can they go on and smile when it looks like they don't have a problem in the world? And the only answer for that is God's grace. Amen? And you know, when I look at people and say, well, I can't go through what they're going through, it's because I don't have the grace to go through it. But God's grace never fails. Amen? Bible said the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And Peter said he's the God of all grace. Amen. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. And I thank him for that tonight. If you're able to stand with us, Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1. We'll read one verse of scripture and have prayer, and then you can be seated. If you're not physically able to stand, we understand that tonight as well. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank you for the word of God tonight. I want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Lord, thank you for the church, the pillar and ground of truth. And I pray tonight, dear God, that you would help us these next few moments. Lord, I don't want to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. God, I pray tonight that you'd be glorified, that your Son would be magnified, and may the church be edified tonight. Lord, I ask that we would see no man save Jesus only, and we'll thank you for what you do. For we love you, and we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to draw your attention to verse number 1 here tonight for just a few moments. And when we think about the book of Revelation, certainly there's a lot of things that we could think about as we think about this great book that John the Revelator wrote as we close the Word of God. We know that this is not the last book chronologically that may have been written, but we do know that in our Bible this is the last book that we have in the Holy Writ tonight. And when we think about all that John wrote about, in these four chapters, these 22 chapters tonight. He wrote about the jubilation that would be around the throne that we see in chapter number 4. He wrote about the tribulation that would be here on earth that we read about in several chapters from chapter 5 to chapter number 19. John wrote about the annihilation of kings and captains in chapter number 18 and chapter number 19 as he talked about the battle of Armageddon. He wrote about the glorification that is to wait the child of God as one day we'll see that holy city as it's going to come down. John had much to write about, but everything that John writes about in chapter number 4 all the way to chapter number 22 cannot and will not happen until the one event that I want to preach on tonight has to take place first. And may I say that is the rapture. Amen. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on the reality of the rapture. Amen. Because you see tonight, the rapture is not some figment of our imagination. It's not some story hatched out of Hollywood somewhere. But I want to tell you, in the very pages of the Word of God, we've been given a firm promise. We've been given a firm commitment that just any daybreak, Jesus is going to come again. We know that it can happen at any moment. It can happen at any time. I'm telling you, before I finish this sermon tonight, the trump of God could sound and the dead in Christ can rise and we would be gone in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Well, when we come to this text tonight, the reality of the rapture will not only be real in our life, but it is real in the life of John the Revelator. Amen. I mean, he may not be here right now, but in chapter number 4, as John begins to write this chapter, God makes it so real to him, and I pray that God will make it real to us tonight. And when we come to this verse here, what I want you to notice tonight in this little verse is I want you to see three things concerning John and the rapture of the church. You say, now preacher, why is that so important? I think it's important tonight because the same three things that we will notice about John in light of the rapture is the same three things tonight that ought to be true about you and I concerning the fact that Jesus is coming again. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, he's coming, isn't he? And I believe it more tonight than I've ever believed it in all my life. You say, why do you believe that? I believe it because the Word of God says that he's going to come. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 29, it said, and yet a little while, and he that shall come, and he will not tarry. Amen. Our Savior said in John chapter 14 and verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Word of God says he's coming. The Son of God says he's coming. I believe tonight Jesus is coming again. Amen. And John believed that tonight. And I want you to notice three things about John in this verse, and we'll be through. First of all, I want you to see John in this verse, and I want you to see that John is looking. Amen. As the Bible said, after this, I looked. John is looking. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because we ought to be looking tonight. In Titus chapter number 2 in verse 11, the Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John is looking in this text. I want you to see how John is looking. Notice with me in verse number 1 that John is looking patiently because he says, after this. John isn't just looking, but he's looking patiently. He said, after this, after what, John? Well, you have to go back and read chapter 1, 2, and 3. And we'll not do that tonight. But you know what's in those chapters. You know in chapter 1, John is on the Isle of Patmos. And we've all had some Patmoses in our life, isn't that right? This is a very difficult time in John's life. But John learned some things on Patmos that he would not have learned anywhere else. You say, what do you mean? John learned that while he was on Patmos, it was there that God let John see and write the book of Revelation. And John, while he was on Patmos, he learned that while he had outward solitude, thank God he could have inward fellowship. Amen. And you know, there's some times in our life where we have some Patmos experiences, and it looks like we're all by ourselves, but we still have that inward fellowship. Amen. John learned that while he had outward poverty, thank God he had inward riches. Amen. Jesus Christ was everything that John needed him to be. And Christ will be everything tonight that you and I need him to be. And can I tell you, John learned that while he had outward solitude, he still had inward fellowship. Listen, there wasn't nobody else wanting to fellowship with John. But in chapter 1, he sees the only one that really counts in this life. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He learned, my friend, while he had an outward storm, he still had an inward calm. Amen. There was a peace that passeth all understanding. While he was on Patmos, he saw more heaven in the darkest place of his whole life. And can I tell you, you and I will see more of God and we'll see more of heaven in the darkest places of life than we will anywhere else. Amen. And so John, after all he has seen and been through, he's looking. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. John writes to the seven churches. He sees those seven church ages. And he sees them as they really are. He sees those are literal churches, but they are church ages. Amen. And John sees everything about those churches. He sees the good, he sees the bad, and he sees the ugly. You say, what do you mean, Brother Gravely? I mean this. John, listen, he saw the deadness of Sardis, and John saw the lukewarmness of the Laodiceans. He saw, listen, the persecution that would come on Pergamos, the worldliness of Thyatira. Listen, he saw, listen, the fact that Ephesus had left her first love. I mean, John seen everything that was good, but he also seen everything that was bad about those churches. But in spite of what he's been through in chapter 1, in spite of all that he's seen about the church in chapter 2 and chapter 3, you know what John is doing in chapter 4 in verse number 1? He's still looking. Amen. And can I tell you, after all we have been through, after all I've seen, there's a lot I see in the churches I'm not satisfied with. You're not satisfied with. I don't like the worldliness in the churches. I don't like the deadness in the churches. I don't like all the persecution on the churches. But in spite of everything else that we've seen, you know what I'm still doing tonight? By the grace of God, I still got my eyes toward the hills of Zion, and I'm still looking for Jesus to come again. He's looking patiently, isn't he? And then I notice he's looking personally. He said, after this, I looked. John is looking personally tonight. You know, nobody can make you get excited about the rapture. Nobody can make you look toward heaven tonight. John is looking personally. He's seeing heaven open for himself. I want to tell you tonight, if there's enough in this world that if you look around, you'll get discouraged. There's enough going on around this world that if you look at it, it'll disappoint you. But the psalmist said, I'll lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We don't need to spend so much time looking around, but we just need to lift up our heads. Our redemption is drawing nigh. We need to look up in this hour. This is a time to fasten our eyes toward the hills of home. Hallelujah. John is looking personally. And then John is looking passionately. Look what he said. And after this I looked, and notice this word, behold. You know what the word behold means? It means to stop and gaze upon. It means to fasten your eyes on. I want to tell you, John is not taking a glance. But John is gazing. John is staring. John has fastened his eyes on this truth here. He is looking, and he's looking patiently, and he's looking personally. I want to tell you, he's looking with a passion. It has John's attention tonight. It has captivated him. Can I tell you what we need to do in this hour? We don't need to just glance at this truth. We've heard preaching on the second coming. We've heard preaching on the rapture. We've heard preaching on the last days so much that if we're not careful, we sing about it, we preach about it, we talk about it. If we're not careful, we'll just glance at it and go on. I'll tell you what John's doing. He's got his eyes on it. He can't think about nothing else. It's captivated his mind. Everything else has faded from view. And John, with a passion, he is looking upward. Hallelujah. I've watched people down through the years. People I've pastored. I remember a little old lady up in her 90s. She came to our church and she went to the doctor on Monday and her heart had wore out, her lungs had wore out. The heart doctor told her on Monday, said, there's nothing else we can do for you. Your heart's just wore out. You don't have very long to live. She went to the lung doctor on Tuesday and the lung doctor said, I've talked to the heart doctor. And we talked with each other. Your lungs is basically in the same shape your heart's in. Your lungs are wore out. Your heart is wore out. We wish we had some better news for you, but everything's just wore out. You don't have very much time left. Well, she went to the heart doctor on Monday. She went to the lung doctor on Tuesday, but she came to church on Wednesday night. Amen. And she stood up about right over here where this lady is sitting, and she told that same testimony to the church, and she said, well, the heart doctor told me I'm going to die soon on Monday, and the lung doctor confirmed it on Tuesday that I'm going to die. But she turned around and looked at everybody and just waved, and she said, I don't know if I'll be here Sunday or not, but she said, if I don't see you down here, she said, I'll meet you in the morning. Amen. I'm telling you, that's somebody that's got their eyes beyond this world, and she left this world with a passion. Amen. You know why? Because she was looking upward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then on St. John is looking through a portal. Notice what he said here in this verse. He said a door was opened in heaven. You know, when you think about a door tonight, you think about that door. Pastor, where does that door go to? To a hallway that goes where? Outside. You know what a door represents? It represents two things. It represents an entrance and an exit. That's right. And if you go through that door, you are entering into the hallway, but you're exiting the sanctuary. On one side of that door, you're entering. And on the other side of that door, you're leaving. I want to tell you, that's what a door is. It's an entrance from one place and an exit from another. It's a portal. And John is looking up and he sees a portal there. He sees a door in toward heaven. Amen. He's looking into that portal. I want to tell you, I've never been through that door. Amen. But I want to tell you, that's exactly what that portal is. It's an exit from this world, but it's an entrance into the next world. Amen. I've never went through that door. I've never went through that portal. I'll tell you what I have done. I've stood by the bedside of those I've loved. I've stood by the bedside of those I've pastored. And I've watched them leave from this way. I've watched some slip through that portal. I've watched some leave from this world and go into that next world. I want to tell you, I've watched them on this side. I want to tell you, on this side of that doorway, there's nothing but sorrow. There's nothing but tears. There's nothing but broken hearts on this side. And they've left all that behind. But when they slip through that portal, you know what? They go to another side. And on the other side, there is no tears. And there is no sorrow.
sickness, and there is no sorrow, and there is no suffering. I'm going to tell you, on this side, there's grieving, but on that side, there's glory. Amen. They leave a body of sickness, and they enter into a body that'll never suffer again. They leave a lot of questions, but they go to a land where there is no questions. Hallelujah. They slip through that portal. They leave, and they go through to the other side. When my wife's father was passing away, he had brain cancer. They diagnosed him with brain cancer of the worst kind. With that brain cancer, they said he might live 3 months. What it did, it began, if you know anybody that's had it, you know the process, it began to shut all of his motor skills down. He got to where he could not talk, got to where he could not move his arms. One at a time, things were shutting down. Finally, he got to a comatose state to where he couldn't even open his eyes, and he was just laying there, and she was gathered around with her mother and her sister there by his bedside. And as he was laying there, they knew that his time wasn't very much, and he was going to leave this world. All of a sudden, you know what happened? That portal opened up. Amen. And when that portal opened up, his eyes opened up. And my wife was looking at him, and he was just staring. All of a sudden, his eyes had not opened in about 3 days. His eyes opened real wide. And she looked at him, and she said, "Daddy," she said, "you see something, don't you?" You know what he did? He looked over at her for just a minute. And she said to him, she said, "You go on and be with Jesus. It'll be all right. We'll be just fine." He looked at her for just a few moments as to say goodbye, and then he looked over at his other daughter for just a few moments as to say goodbye, and then he looked over at his wife he'd been married to for 50 something years as to say goodbye, and then he looked back up, and when he looked back up, you know what happened? He drew his last breath and he slipped through that portal. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, one of these days, you know what's going to happen? That portal's going to open up wider than it's ever opened up before. And it's not opening up so we can go in. It's opening up so somebody can come out. And when he comes out, guess what? He's coming for me. And he's coming for you. And we're all going to leave. John is looking and he sees a door. Hallelujah. He's looking through a portal. Then I want you to notice, not only is John looking, but I see that John is listening. He hears something in this verse. He said, "The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet." He's not just looking, but now he's listening. He's hearing something. "John, what do you hear?" He said, "I tell you what I hear. I hear a voice." "Well, John, what kind of voice is that you hear?" He said, "I'll tell you what voice that is." If you look at this verse, he tells us what it, he said, it's the first voice. "And the first voice which I heard." You know, I think the first voice that I'm going to hear is going to be his voice. I believe that. He is the first and the last, didn't he? So it would only make sense that the first voice I hear is not the voice of an angel. It's not the voice of a patriarch. It's not the voice of an Old Testament. It's not even going to be my daddy's voice or my mother's voice or my sister's voice. But I tell you whose voice it's going to be. It's going to be the one that has walked with me and taught with me and walked with you and taught with you. It's going to be the one that heaven is all about. It's going to be his voice. John said, "I'm listening and I hear a voice." And it's the first voice. And then it's a familiar voice. You realize this wasn't the first time John had heard his voice. I mean, he walked with him for 3.5 years. He heard his voice as he preached. He heard his voice as he talked with them. By the way, he heard the voice of Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, he heard that voice. It was a familiar voice. And can I tell you tonight, I'll not be a stranger when I get to that city. I want to tell you, I'll hear his voice. I won't have to wonder whose voice that is. You say, "How will you know his voice?" I'll tell you how. Because I have his word. Amen. And if you got his word, you're going to know his voice. It's a familiar voice, amen.
And then it's a firm voice. Look what he said. He said it was as of a trumpet. Amen. I can't play an instrument. I wished I could. I can't sing. I wished I could sing. You know, if I could, and God knows who to give those talents to, doesn't he? You know, I mean, I've always been to the persuasion, if you can't sing, that's why we have a choir. Is that right? Come on now, don't y'all die on me. There ain't nothing worse. Y'all probably going to get off. Y'all probably going to die when I say this, but there ain't nothing worse trying to hear somebody sing, can't sing. Now, don't act so sanctified. You don't like to hear people preach that can't preach. We don't like to hear people sing that can't sing. And I can't sing. And the only people that get mad when I say that is people that can't sing. That's why we have choirs. So for people like us can sing and don't get near a microphone. Amen. Kindly get in the corner like I do and let those who can get under those microphones. You don't have any, so that's a blessing. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. God knew not to give me that. If I could sing and play, you know what I'd do? I'd be one of them people that come dragging in with a songbook about this big, you know, and an instrument, and I'd sit down in the front row and just, you know, wait for the preacher to feel so guilty after he asked me to sing a song. And then when he finally called on me to sing, I'd get up and say something like this: well, I really didn't come to sing, you know. We've all heard that. They got more songs in that book and your pages in your King James Bible. Want us to think they didn't come to sing. But I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. But I think I know this much about an instrument. If somebody was to slip in the back of this church tonight, pull a trumpet out unknown to any of us, and to the very best of their ability, if they was to try to blow that trumpet without anybody hearing it, it would be impossible. It's got a firm voice. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes, there's going to come a shout across the Milky Way. There's going to come a shout across the airwave. I'm going to tell you, it's going to turn NASA's, that's going to turn NASA's systems all upside down. It's going to be a shout so loud that it'll shake the foundation of hell and it'll wake the dead of every blood-washed child of God. It's going to be a shout of victory, amen. It's going to be a shout, thank God. It's going to bring peace and comfort to the ears of every child of God. It's going to be a shout, thank God. It's going to lift our feet off of this ground. It's going to translate our bodies from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible. It's a firm voice, hallelujah. And then it's a friendly voice. Because he said it talked with me. It was talking with me. I want to tell you tonight, this voice still talks to us. The voice of God says to every sinner, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. The voice of God says to every saint, hold on a little longer, child. Because it won't be long. John is listening. John is looking. And then I want to say this in closing tonight. John is leaving. Because in verse number 1, John's getting out of here. He's leaving the earthly world and he's going to the eternal. In this verse, I want you to notice this about the desire for John to leave earth. Notice the word when this voice talks to him. The first word is the word come. The voice says to John, come. That means children can come. It means older people can come. It means middle-aged folks can come. It means everyone can come. I still believe that tonight. And he says, come, John. You know, I see the desire in this word. Because John, no doubt by this time, he has a desire to go. I mean, he's walked out, he's looked up. Think about it tonight. If you went out in that parking lot and you looked up and you saw a door in the heavens there, and that door opened up, that portal opened up, and you could see a little bit of that glory coming through that doorway, and you could hear a voice as of a trumpet, wouldn't you want to go? I mean, I'd want to go, wouldn't you? That's not what that verse says. The desire is not on John's part. The desire is on heaven's part. Have you ever thought
thought about this. I want to go, but more than I want to go, they want me to come. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some places you may want to go, but they don't want you to come. Amen. Hey, some places you and I are not going to get an invitation to. There's some places we wouldn't qualify to get in. But can you think about this tonight? As much as I want to go to heaven, heaven wants me to come, and heaven wants you to come. Heaven is waiting for me, and heaven is waiting for you. Oh, what a joy that they desire us to come tonight. You say, why did God take my loved one? I don't have the answer for all of that. But I do have this answer if they're saved. Because they want them to come. You know, when you gave that testimony tonight, I thought about my sister. She was born 1973. Mentally, profoundly retarded. They said she would never walk, said she would never talk. My mother and father, they weren't Christians. I come from a family. I was a bus kid that got saved. My daddy had been a drunk for 42 years before he got saved. Rode that bus to church, a little blue and white bus. Come down the road, smoked like a freight train. Killed every mosquito within 15 miles, I promise you. Somebody knocked on our door one Sunday morning. Or Saturday morning, we were sitting in there watching cartoons. We spent every Friday night in the back of an old 76 Impala. My daddy just stayed and lived in the bars is where he lived. And I'm not proud of that, nor are they. But we didn't know God. I know what it is to open the refrigerator. Nothing but a jar of mustard and a six-pack of beer. Open those cabinets and nothing but a fifth of a liquor. And I know what that's like. Somebody knocked on our door one Saturday morning. A man in a white shirt and a tie. If you come to our house with a white shirt and tie on, you were either Jehovah's Witness, an insurance salesman, or the law. Amen. And 9 out of 10 times it was the law. We looked through that doorway and saw that man stand. I thought, I ain't opening that door. My mother went up to that door. He pulled out two big old red and white candy canes about this big around, about this tall. He talked to her. She wasn't interested in church. And so finally he said to her, he said, well, if you'll let them boys ride the bus tomorrow, I'll give them a candy cane. So we rode the bus. Hell, no, I won't go into all of it, but about 6 months later, Easter Sunday, first time I ever saw my mother in a dress, she walked down that driveway. And she got on that bus. And she got saved. And then I got saved. And then my brother got saved. And then my cousins got saved. And then my mean old aunt got saved. And after 42 years of drinking, my truck driving daddy got saved. Amen. My sister, they said she'd never live to be past 18. My mother was sitting there one day. My brother had been born and passed away. She'd done lost one. Before my sister was born, she was sitting there. She wasn't even saved. She was watching A March of Dimes. And she looked up and she told me, she said, I didn't even know if there was a God to pray to. And she said, I said, God, I don't know if you're real, but if you're real, would you give me a baby? And I don't even care if there's something wrong with that baby. Just give me a baby. That baby was born mentally profoundly retarded. Said she had never walked, she had never talked. My mother, who wasn't even saved, I don't understand all this. But my mother said, God, you can let that baby walk. She had no arches in her feet. I remember sitting there on the floor. My sister was 8 years old, and one day she pulled up on a coffee table. 2 or 3 days later, she reached out, and she took about 2 steps. We wasn't saved at that time, but I thank God heard that little old prayer and did that for my mother. Just to let her know that there was a God in heaven so that she could and would be saved. My sister, I was preaching up in Culpeper, Virginia a few years ago. My sister was 43 years old.
My mother and daddy every day took care of her just like she was a little baby. Gave her a bath every day, brushed her hair. I remember she never had a tangle in her hair. Fed her every single meal she ever had. And the phone rang about 6:30 that morning and I knew something was wrong. I picked it up. My mother was crying on the other end. She had heart failure. I could hear the machine in the background flatlining. And my mom cried. She said, "We're losing her, son. We're losing her. She's going." I said, "Tell her to go be with Jesus, Mom. She's going to be better off." She said, "Jennifer, you go. You be with the Lord." I thank God did this for my mother. She rolled her head over and looked at her. She smiled. And she took her last breath. And she went to glory. And I was standing at her casket. And my dad, who has Alzheimer's and had dementia at the time, he came up to the casket and he's standing there. And he said to me, he said, "You know, I think I know why your sister was born this way. I didn't mean to tell all this, but when you got to tell it, it just got a hold of me." And I'm standing there at the casket, and preacher, I thought he's got dementia. He doesn't. I don't know why she was born that way. 43 years she lived like that. She had autism so bad she'd sat in the corner all day. Them little keys that babies shake, I bet she went through hundreds of them. Just sat there all day and just smile and shake those keys. And I thought, he does not know why God let this happen. But he may have. We were standing there and he said, "I think I know why God let this happen." I said, "Dad, nobody knows why this happened." He said, "I think I know." I said, "Why do you think that?" He said, "Because no marriage on either side of our families has survived. All the cousins, the grandparents, they've all ended in multiple divorces." And he said, "Son," he said, "me and your mom would have never stayed together had it not been for your sister." He said, "Why, every time I thought about leaving her, I thought about your sister. Every time she thought about leaving me, she thought about your sister." And I got to thinking about that. I said, "Dad," I said, "do you know if you'd have left, I said, I'd have never heard the gospel. Mom would have never heard the gospel. Well, none of us have never been saved. I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart, God let an angel be born. And suffer, we're never more like Christ than when we suffer. And let her suffer and carry the gospel. I preached her funeral. Two of the meanest cousins we had walked the aisle and got saved. She never spoke a word, but she brought our family to the foot of the cross. She never spoke a word, but she brought two cousins to the cross." You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying down here, I never heard her say anything. But over there on the hillsides of glory, she left this world and went through that portal. And on resurrection morning, I'll see her again, thank God. She'll be known as she was known down here. But she won't have a little old frail body. And she won't be suffering. And she'll speak a heavenly language. And thank God, it'll be a wonderful day when we see our loved ones. They're leaving one by one, and we're going behind. Oh, but some golden daybreak, Jesus is coming, and we're going to see them again. Hallelujah. Praise God, the desire, the direction. He said, "Come up," and then the destination. Look what he said. He said, "Come up hither." Now you can't be from, listen, you got to be from the south to know what that means. You know what hither means. I was preaching this up north. I could look at that crowd and tell they had no idea what hither meant. You know what hither means? It means come here, doesn't it? God used some old southern language and said, "John, you come hither." Amen. It means come here. But I'll tell you more importantly, you know what it means? It means come home, friend. I'll tell you what this world is coming to. It's not coming to an end. It's coming to Jesus. We're going to see Him. And we may see Him tonight. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'll tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you ought to get in. Because the rapture is going to happen at any moment. If you're here tonight and you're not right with God, you ought to get right. Because you need to be right when the rapture takes place. If you're here tonight and you got a heavy burden, as the singers come, whatever the Lord orders, whatever's on their heart tonight, I tell you, these altars are open. You ought to come tonight if you got a burden, a loved one, somebody you're praying for, or if you just want to come and say, Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm ready. You don't have to come tonight, but if the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, you ought to come tonight because Jesus is coming. Father, bless this invitation. Lord, bless this song. Have your way. Lord, give wisdom tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.